Hello and welcome to the opening bell. My name is Matt Christie. I'm joined again by John Denon. We're recording it a little bit early because I am flying out to Las Vegas tomorrow. Not sure when you'll be listening to it, but at the moment, Carl Frampton's excellent win at the weekend is still pretty fresh. John, you're out there at Belfast. Talk us through it.
It's a bit chilly.
Why was it? Was it really, really cold?
When the wind swept in from the sea, it was pretty cold. But I dealt with it pretty well. And there was some boxing going on, so I watched that.
So, but were you? Did the temperature take away the enjoyment of Frampton's performance?
No. I was just being facetious. He was brilliant. The crowd was amazing as well. And it's just one of those nights you'll remember for a very long time.
How did it compare? Because you were lucky enough to be at, in fact, both of the Froch Groves fights.
I was.
How did the atmosphere compare? I know there's a lot less people, particularly for the Froch rematch.
Yeah.
In Belfast, but how did it compare in terms of the feel and everything else?
So there were, Froch Groves 2 was so much bigger just in terms of size and the huge noise they made. There were sort of enough people there you could really feel that noise. So sort of some of the atmosphere, I guess, escaped in this sort of open air square. But it was quite different. There was sort of so much love for Carl Frampton, especially when he arrived. Just everyone in Belfast went nuts. You know, I'd be curious to know if you could compare how much beer was drunk. I just wonder if 16,000 in Belfast drank as much as 80,000 in London. Because by the time Frampton was there, people were loud. And it was interesting with Froch Groves. There was a lot of there was a lot of hostility. Like they were booing everyone. And after the crowd didn't get the knockout it wanted in the first one, it was sort of very hostile and aggressive. This was, really warm, just really there to celebrate Frampton.
You say when he arrived, the crowd went crazy. Did you see it on a big screen or something, his arrival at the stadium, or was it when he had actually arrived in the ring?
Yeah, when he arrived in the ring. So his arrival in the stadium was sort of broadcast later after it happened on the screen, which everyone went pretty loud for. When the Eamon Holmes was shown on the big screen, they love him up there. I don't know why. It was a loud cheer for him. But it was when he you could see him sort of at the end of his ring walk before he started it. So he just sort of processed into this wall of noise.
Okay, so
it's tough for Matthew Wilton to follow that up in a four rounder at about midnight.
I can imagine. Did Kiko Martinez, he's not. He wasn't like public enemy number one over there, was he? Did he have any support at all?
Not that I heard, though. I saw a few journalists. Sergio Martinez was there, who was very popular, as in when Sergio Martinez was walking around, there was a scrum of people who were trying to get pictures with him. So the crowd didn't know they were boxing, they knew who he was. If there was any support for Kiko there, it was totally drowned out.
Okay, that's not a surprise. But looking at Frampton's performance, it was almost faultless, would you say?
Yeah, it's hard to pick. It's hard to pick a fault in it. He was brilliant. Martinez got to him a few times, landed a few hard shots, but Frampton sort of marshalled him expertly. Mm. Really picked his moments to stand and fight. He could have kept moving the whole time, but obviously part of his plan was to hold his ground at times, and that's when he got caught in a bit of a firefight. But also, that's part of his appeal, getting stuck in. He didn't just hit and move, though when he did it very well. It was more, Martinez did very well. He took a lot of punishment. I think a lesser fighter would have been stopped beneath that. So you can barely even fault Frampton for not stopping him.
No, I mean, Martinez has proved recently that he's a world-class performer. And even though Frampton got the knockout first time round, I thought his performance this time was better. because there was moments in that first fight where I felt he might be losing his way a little bit, whereas this time he was just in control.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
What would you like to see? Firstly, what would you like to see him do next? And secondly, what do you think he will do next?
I quite like to see him. I would like the Scott Quigg fight. I think that would be big. But I think he could become a huge star. He's got the ability, the personality. He's got that really fervent support and local support in his hometown, sort of like Ricky Hatton did. So I would like to see him try and crack America. And, there are great fights out there for him with people like Santa Cruz and, I think Abner Mares is relatively big out there as well, that kind of thing.
It's interesting you make the Ricky Hatton comparison, really, because I suppose, although Hatton had a lot more fights than Frampton has when he won his first world title, he was at a similar age, Hatton, when he beat Costa Zhu. So Frampton maybe get some defences, perhaps get the super fight with Scott Quigg, and if he was to win that, would a fight against somebody like Guillermo Rigondo be his Floyd Mayweather, if you see what I'm saying, like what Ricky Hatton had?
Or like Manny Pacquiao to Floyd Mayweather, and they never fight one another.
Good point. It's a good point. I'd love to see Frampton fight out in Las Vegas or something like that. I think that would be a fascinating spectacle.
Yeah, exactly. And, like everyone in boxing, no one's desperate to get in the ring with Rigondo because they feel he's not a draw in terms of money or supporters. And obviously, everyone acknowledges how good Rigondo is. But outside of Rigondo, Frampton's clearly the second best super bantamweight.
Actually, not clearly.
I suppose I don't know. They're very confident about beating Santa Cruz, which is quite convincing.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say now.
But is Scott Quigg, Carl Frampton ever going to happen?
I would like it to happen sooner rather than later. There's always a danger when you keep people apart, and obviously, that someone, one of them could lose or something like that. But going back to Rigondo, because to me Rigondo is, there's no dispute, Rigondo is that the division's leader, he's a WBA champion. But Frampton, I think, again showed, even in a one-sided fight, it was entertaining, wasn't it, against Kiko Martinez. Do you think that somehow, that Frampton versus Rigondo would be a more, would somehow lift Rigondo's appeal a bit if they were to match those two together?
Oh yeah, I mean,
do you know what I mean?
I think Rigondo needs someone like Carl Frampton.
Yeah.
And that's probably the problem for him getting these fights, is he needs them, he needs them more. But I mean, Rigondo's talking to Frank Warren. I don't know if Frank can save his career. But I think Frampton does bring excitement because, he can punch hard and he can fight, but he's also got, he's just well-rounded in terms of his skill. He can hit and move as well. He's got it all.
Yeah. I mean, we spoke about it last week. We spoke about it at length, I think, about Rigondo and the problems that Rigondo has got. I would just have so much respect now for Carl Frampton if he actively chased Rigondo. Even if he was to lose, he could still go back and have all these super fights and be regarded as one of the best fighters, in the world himself. But I do, I really wish that he would chase the division's leader.
Yeah.
And that is the thing now with the fractured titles, which you've had for such a long time. But the fact is that Carl Frampton can now, rightfully of course, call himself the world champion when there is somebody clearly better who we deem to be better in that division, and it just doesn't quite sit right with me somehow, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else about Frampton you wanted to add?
I suppose the one, just following on from that, the person he wants is Scott Quigg. That's the first name on his lips.
Yeah.
And that would be big, but again, I mean, I'm not allowed to talk about the politics, but I see that being very hard to make. I don't, with Avalos, Chris Avalos, the mandatory being thrown into the mix, whose promoter is Top Rank, who they're going to work with Matchroom to promote Avalos over here. But, Frampton's got no great love for Eddie Hearn after his experience being promoted by him, which is a bad sign. Baron McGuigan would want that fight, or you know, wants that fight on Carl Frampton's terms, and is that going to sit right with, you know, with Matchroom? Are they going to be able to get it together? I also don't think either of the boxers. I think both the boxers, you know, I believe them when they say, they both say they want it, and I believe them, but I think it's just going to be hard to make.
Yeah, I think you will see a situation where Frampton will make that mandatory defence, first of all, against Avila. I don't think he's going to be wanting to give up his title. He said, you know, he wants to keep it for a long, long time. So I think we will see that, which we often do see. You know, we'll see that mandatory defence with a new champion against someone who perhaps isn't as appealing as some other rivals out there, but you kind of get that one out of the way and then, you know, see what happens. But I'm sure if he was to have that fight in Belfast, it would be a huge occasion, just as Barry McGuigan's defences against the likes of Bernard Taylor, Danilo Carbera, who were not marquee names, but because it was Barry McGuigan, they were fantastic and popular occasions. I'm sure it would be the same with Frampton.
I think the problem is having the right arenas in Belfast, because you can't, you know, they had to build that 16,000 open air stadium for him, especially because they didn't have another venue big enough.
Yeah, it's true.
So you can't really have an open air show in winter, or dear God, I hope they don't. you know, that's another reason to go to America.
Yeah.
The clement weather, indoor stadiums. I mean, I'd like to see him fight, you know, unify a title with Leo Santa Cruz. Then he could have a huge fight with Scott Quigg. And, you know, obviously, you know, and maybe if he unified the titles with four titles on the line, if he then fought Rigondo in, like, you know, a year or two's time.
Yeah.
You know, that would be massive.
Yeah, that would be massive. That really would be huge. Yeah, I like that plan, John. Okay, so we'll move on. Elsewhere in Cincinnati, Adrian Broner had a tougher than expected tussle with Emmanuel Taylor, but he emerged triumphant on the cards after 12 rounds. What else? Lucas Matisse won on that bill, and Andre Berto also was successfully won his first fight since 2011. Have you seen any of the Broner fight? I caught some of it via the internet. Did you?
I was in Belfast and on the road.
Yeah, so you haven't managed to see any of it. It was quite, from what I could see, it wasn't the best footage that I was watching, but from what I could see, it was a good old scrap. Broner got caught a lot. It was fairly even for the first six, and then Broner kind of confirmed his superiority in the second half. But for me, he, again echoing what we were saying last week, he does not look like the saviour of boxing, the next superstar or the next Floyd Mayweather at all. And I don't know if he's just not as good as we thought he was, or if he will impress us when he fights somebody of a better level than Emmanuel Taylor.
Yeah, and maybe he's finding it hard to, you know, recover from that defeat. It's really
exactly,
punctured.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you think about Mayweather, this whole aura about him of being sort of invincible and unbeatable is something that he's cultivated and uses. And that's the way Broner wanted to go. Very clearly marketed himself, you know, build himself as the new Mayweather. Now he's sort of lost that, and he's a man in search of an identity.
He is a man in search of an identity. Not sure if he'll ever find that, though. But he has, I mean, what is he, 25? He's still young. He's still really young. He has got a lot of talent. But I think the sooner he moves away from the whole Floyd Mayweather is my idol mindset, I think that perhaps might be, you know, better for him. Because there is only one Floyd Mayweather. And you sense that he has tried to copy him in his ring style, he's tried to copy his antics outside the ring, and perhaps he would just be better off focused on being his own man and his own fighter.
Trying to be Floyd Mayweather isn't going to work, you've got to be yourself.
You have, yeah. We've realised that the hard way, haven't
we? You know, my father had to have some strong words with me when he said, you're not the next Floyd Mayweather. Stop putting down pound coins around your yoga mat, John. Grow up.
Lucas Matisse, that's a good fight, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's going to be good because everyone's going to want to see Matisse batter Broner.
Good chance that he will, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, okay, all right. So that leads us to the action this weekend. We did speak about it a little bit last week. I wasn't expecting to be involved in the podcast this week, but...
Sorry, mate.
No, I mean, it's good, it's always good. Always enjoy these. So I'm really, really excited about it.
Your trip to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the trip to Vegas.
There's the flight, there's all the work you've got to do.
Yeah, there is, you know,
time difference.
But the
if you want me to go for you.
Would you do that for me?
If you asked nicely.
There's quite a pleasant hotel booked, so that'd be all sorted for you. And I think the ringside tickets are all sorted, so. Wow, that's good of you.
All right, I'll take it. I've got a lovely Premier Inn book for you in Manchester.
No, kind of joking aside, I'm really, really excited about it. This is in danger of passing people by a little bit. I don't think, when I read stuff with Mayweather saying this is the fight the public wanted, I think given a choice of other options, it wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
The first fight, although it was probably closer than many anticipated, there wasn't really any great debate that Mayweather lost that fight. And it would have been nice from my point of view, and I think from a lot of other people's point of view, to see Mayweather go on and fight somebody else. The Maidana box was ticked, and considering he's probably very, very close to the end of his career, I think it would have been good to see him go on and fight someone else. But, I mean, in this week's Heroes and Villains, one of the questions that I've asked is, who do you think, presuming that Mayweather was to beat Maidana, who do you think he would fight next? And there isn't really that many names out there. I think one of the reasons that they got Maidana is because they knew the last one sold quite well. Again, it's this whole national thing in that he's, you know, well-supported Argentine. And it was just easy to sell. It's done. But...
Have they worked out the gloves yet? I'm not sure.
But moving on from that, presuming he wins again, and the kind of the general consensus is it'll probably win a wide decision. Presuming that happens, who is out there that, you know, Mayweather can create a really, really special event against? Because I'm struggling for people that are likely opponents. Manny Pacquiao's name has been mentioned yet again. And the other obvious one to me would be Amir Khan. Outside of those two, is there anyone else?
I'm struggling to think of someone. There's sort of the young up and coming guys like Keith Thurman. But again, I don't think that would be...
It'd be a hard sell though, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone would expect Thurman to win, and he's not well known enough in his own right to make it a big event. Cotto for a middleweight title.
That's one that's possible.
Because that they'd have to sort of, you know, they'd have to make it at £155 or something,
yeah.
But with the middleweight title on the line.
That was actually, because remember when he announced Maidana, he said, then I've got something big in May.
Yeah.
That was, my instinct told me that big thing in May could be Cotto. I'd forgotten about that recently, though.
Yeah. What do you make of Cotto not saying he's not going to fight until next year?
Well, you could... You know, you can kind of put two and two together there and think that perhaps he is saving himself for a Floyd Mayweather showdown. But Mayweather tends to fight in May, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's a long
time. That's a long time because it was June 7th, wasn't it? Martinez, Cotto. So that'd be 11 months out of the ring for Cotto, which would be not ideal, I wouldn't say.
And would you really want to waste, you know, almost a year when you've only got, you know, you can't have that much time left, really?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure who would be next for Mayweather.
And do you really think Mayweather Pacquiao? We've spent so long waiting and hoping for it. Do you think it will really happen in 2015?
I don't know, but I mean, we have heard some encouraging noises from Pacquiao's camp. I haven't seen an interview, but I've read somewhere that Mayweather again was reiterating his stance that the only way it's going to happen is if Pacquiao signs for Mayweather Promotions. There's been so many bluffs and mind games and what have you played that perhaps Mayweather is trying to put people off the scent. Because to an extent, Pacquiao will probably have to sign with Mayweather promotions anyway, even if it's promoted by Top Rank as well. So perhaps that's the something there. I don't know. I was slightly encouraged when Bob Arum initially said they might fight twice next year. It's still an event that I would love to see. I think it would capture the sporting public's imagination like nothing else could in boxing at the moment. I think the hardcore fans are aware that it should have happened 4 years ago. But
40 years ago.
Did I just say 40?
Yeah, it feels like 40 years.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? 4 years ago. But the general public would be probably seduced by the razzmatazz and everything else, and this is the two best guys in the world getting it on. And I think it would be a massive, massive occasion. And I think they've both probably slipped at a similar level. I don't think Mayweather is a fighter he was 3 years ago. I don't think Pacquiao is a fighter he was 3 years ago. But I do still believe they would come together to create a very, very interesting fight.
Yeah. And Mayweather isn't knocking people out at the moment. So you're almost, you know, guaranteed 12 rounds. Not guaranteed, yeah. But the likelihood is you'll get 12 rounds of action.
Yeah. But again, you've got, there's a lot. Even if they were to announce tomorrow, okay, after this we've signed, we're fighting Manny Pacquiao. They've still got the Maidana fight to get out of the way. Pacquiao's still got to get past Chris Algieri, which is a nasty looking fight for him, I think, if he's not motivated, if he's not got his mind on it. And with the history of these two failing to come together, I think perhaps it's doomed. However many times it seems to be resurrected, these hopes.
Alright.
But I do like.
We're all doomed, mate.
We are. But I do like. That would still be my preference, even though it's happened too late. But I do very much like Floyd Mayweather Amir Khan.
I like it too. I think it'd be massive.
Yeah, it would be. I think it'd be huge.
I think Khan was so good against Collazo that sort of. I think before I certainly expected it to be an entertaining fight, Mayweather would probably win pretty handily. After Khan being, you know, looking so great at welterweight against Collazo, then you know he could give Mayweather a real fight.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree. Are we overlooking Maidana? We spoke again. I know we spoke about this last week, but are we overlooking Maidana? Is there a can he gate crash a party? Can he? What would be? I think I'd be right in saying it would be. In the history of boxing, probably second only to Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson, as a huge upset. I would say, as I quickly scan my brain for boxing knowledge.
I'd agree with that. I can't. You know, it would be a huge upset. I'm struggling to think of what would, you know, cause especially with someone as famous as Mayweather, it would go down in history as, you know. But that's the but that does show that, you know, anything can happen, so it's not impossible. And then I don't know, I've been watching the All Access shows and they didn't inspire me with confidence. Or maybe it's all just messing about for the camera, but it just seems.
Who doesn't inspire you?
The Floyd Mayweather.
Right, okay.
You know, it all seems so weird.
Like what? In case people haven't seen it.
So he's sort of eating a burger, doing yoga, which is weird. He seems to have, I'm not quite sure if I just imagined this, but.
What do you normally eat while you're doing yoga?
What?
What do you eat while you're doing yoga?
Normally, it's a gingerbread man from Pret a Manger.
No, sorry, go on.
You know, I think, like, all these hangers-on were smoking weed in his house, and he was sort of presiding over it. And I was so surprised. I feel like I need to watch it again to check that it happened. Because, like, why as an athlete would you be around that? Why would you want that in the air you're breathing? You know, aren't they meant to be being drug tested as well? And what else? Just. Yeah, and they had some food. Obviously, they don't show Mayweather sparring, so I'm sure he's doing his hard work is standard. But they were showing him sort of refereeing these sort of sparring sessions. It was basically two young guys desperate to impress Mayweather, and they just had to beat each other up for as long as they could take it. And it was all a bit, you know, that doesn't seem a particularly helpful way of sparring to me. And it all just seemed a bit distasteful.
I think they're going to have. I think that the producers of that show really, I think this fight, I'm not saying it will struggle, I'm not saying anything of the sort, but I don't think it will do the same numbers as the first one, the pay-per-view numbers. And I suspect that the producers were told pretty strictly to somehow
come up with something
to make this look as evenly matched and give Maidana the biggest chance, you know, or in the eyes of the viewers. So you know, it might be something like that as to how it's been filmed and how it's all been edited and put back together again.
And at least after the first fight, this could be entertaining in that, you know, Maidana has shown he can make it uncomfortable for Mayweather, not through scoring. They're landing scoring blows, but through hitting him low and hitting him everywhere and, you know, causing a cut and that kind of stuff. So I think maybe the entertainment in the fight is going to come from Maidana being as nasty and unpleasant as he can be in the ring without getting disqualified. Yeah. And but again, you know, a low blow, it's not going to help him win, is it?
What do you think will happen?
I think Maidana will make it rough and uncomfortable, and there'll be a few entertaining moments as he does, as he goes crazy. I'm still struggling to think of someone crazier than Maidana. But I do think Floyd will win it more convincingly than the
first
one.
You think he will? You think he'll be
on points?
Yeah. How much longer has Floyd got left? Okay, here's one for you. Here's one that I've discussed with Tris before. But I don't think you and I have discussed it together. Do you think that when Floyd Mayweather walks away from boxing, he will do so with a pristine record that is punctuated by an O? Or do you think he'll fall into the kind of habit that pretty much the vast, vast majority of fighters do, in that he'll start to lose and he will try to recapture his glory and he'll find it's not there? How do you think Floyd Mayweather will leave boxing? Will he leave it with people urging him to retire because he's lost a fight or he's lost too many fights? Or will he walk away as one of the all-time greats with a unbeaten record?
I think he'll walk away with an unbeaten record. I think he'll know, because I think keeping that zero is so important to the whole, to sort of everything about him. You know, I think he's not gonna risk it. And I think he's gonna walk away with that record intact. Because I also think having, you know, that pristine record is sort of gonna be key for his place in history and, you know, in his legacy. So I think, even though most boxers never managed to walk away unbeaten, I think he probably will.
It's interesting. I've kind of always had a feeling that he would probably initially walk away unbeaten, but then might be tempted back a few years later, and then he could perhaps lose then. But I'm not sure. The longer he fights, the more I think that he will lose, because it is so rare. Ultimately, if people go on long enough, they will lose. If Joe Calzaghe had carried on fighting, he'd have lost. So it's...
Yeah, you can't keep on winning forever.
No, you can't. You can't. He's got his haters, as people at the top of their trades always do. His career, although it is...
Is haters a real word?
Huh?
Is haters a real word?
Should be, shouldn't it?
Okay.
Probably is.
Yeah, all right.
But even though he's unbeaten, his career hasn't been perfect. Pacquiao aside, because there's been accusations that he ducked Paul Williams, that he ducked Miguel Cotto when Cotto was at his peak, even Antonio Margarito. You do feel that there's some things he could have done along the way to strengthen his case, to be one of the greatest.
But I think those will be forgotten as time goes on, the sort of the fights other than Pacquiao, that will be that's the sort of the blemish, that's the fight everyone will remember him not taking.
Yeah.
But I think the others will sort of pass from the memory.
Okay.
I'm already forgetting who he hasn't fought.
Yeah. No, there was some, and I think it was possibly before the, it was either before the Oscar De La Hoya fight or it was before the Ricky Hatton fight. And Floyd Mayweather said something along the lines of, "I will go down in history as the greatest fighter of all time, better than Ali, better than Ray Robinson, but you won't know it until I've been retired for a number of years. You won't realise how good I was until." And I just think there's, I don't think there's anybody out, even if he was to beat Pacquiao and if he was to go up and outscore Gennady Golovkin, he's never going to be regarded as the greatest fighter of all time. But he certainly, I think, gets a bit of a raw deal from some historians, because ultimately he has fought at the top level. And okay, he hasn't ticked every box, but he has fought the top level since the turn of, well, before the turn of the century. And I think it was Vinny Pazienza who said something like, because he fought somebody in the 80s who had a record of 53-0-1 or something, and he said, well, even if you fight your nan 53 times, you'd think she'd get lucky in at least one of them. So, you know, an unbeaten record like Floyd Mayweather's, I do think should, you know, it commands respect. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it will, but, you know, we're talking about him in terms of, you know, the all-time greats of the sport.
Yeah,
so he is a great, but, you know, Muhammad Ali needed Joe Frazier and George Foreman, sort of great fighters who were there at the same time that he fought. You know, Mayweather could have had that with Pacquiao, but he needs those sort of those great rivals to be great himself.
Okay, coming to the end then of this week's podcast, just a bit of time, we'll just talk for a few minutes about the Manchester show.
That'll be good.
Yeah, no, it should be good though.
You'll enjoy it, Matt, while I'm in your hotel in Vegas.
So Scott Quigg has got a bit of a, he'll be aware of all this, the frenzy of publicity that Frampton is enjoying at the moment.
Frampton is the saviour of boxing.
So Quigg, will he feel a bit of increased pressure to look good at the weekend?
Yeah, he will do. But I think that pressure has been sort of there, maybe not quite as directly as it is this weekend. But I've always felt sort of they've each been raising the bar, you see, you know, in months gone by or years gone by, you see Frampton looking good, then Quigg looks even better, then Frampton takes other notch. Obviously, Frampton against Martinez took it to a whole new level. But Quigg is very, very good too. And Jamoy is a good fighter to get in at pretty short notice, but I think Quigg is bigger and stronger and, you know, could score a highlight reel knockout. But Frampton is ahead of him now for beating Martinez in the way that he did. But I think it helps, it helps Quigg. It brings pressure being compared to him, but it helps him because it brings attention to him as well.
Definitely, I agree. And just finally, which fight are you looking forward to the most on the bill?
Did we talk about Scott Cardle last week?
Well, on Goodings, yeah, we did.
All right.
But is that the one you were looking forward to the most, you think?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Joshua against Erich for the sort of the ways we've spoken about before, and that, you know, it's good to see him taking this next step at this early stage of his career. And I'm hoping to see a performance as good as his last few have been. But there's plenty of other good stuff on that bill. Crawler, can he really get himself in the mix for a world title?
It's a banana
title?
Skin, isn't it, this one for Crawler?
Yeah.
Potentially, anyway.
Yeah. But that's going to be another interesting one, actually. So, yeah, I'll say now that I'm looking forward to Crawler most of all.
Okay. Well, so that's it for... No, I'll be back next week, I'm afraid. So, yeah, I probably will be involved in next week's podcast.
I might be back next week.
You should be back from Manchester, shouldn't you?
Well...
Yeah, so
we can get real in Manchester.
We'll talk about our respective experiences in Las Vegas and Manchester. Let's see if you can do the craziest thing.
All right.
Okay, all right. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks, everybody, for keep downloading as you have been. We will speak to you next week.